What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
A message from a former New Yorker, presented by Street Easy.
We left Brooklyn Heights in 2021, and we miss it. We went from sharing a neighborhood with a few celebrities to sharing a neighborhood with my wife's parents.
Whether you're looking to rent or it's time to buy, Street Easy has the local expertise you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
This is D'Lo and Casey on ESPN 1320, brought to you by Sky River Casino.
Hey, our man Eddie Gonzalez is with us here. We was just talking about how you start watching football, you know, the summer nearing an end. Watching a football game in July was pretty crazy. Hey, I just pulled up Micah Parsons' goodbye letter, and the fact that my man did it on the Notes app and posted it to Twitter is just spectacular. He's so fed up with the Dallas Cowboys and Jerry Jones. You know things are bad when you go to the Notes app to get your message out there on the social media.
Yeah, and it's like, that gives the error of he typed it himself too. You know, right. When you drop the long tweet, it's the ChatGPT or the publicist joint. No, like he's just at the crib, just furious. Like,
yeah,
I mean, getting my stuff off.
Micah's another one that's, he hasn't reached LeBron's level yet, but Micah funny. Micah cracks me up. He does some stuff that I'm like, this guy's hilarious.
Some of these dudes don't need to do all of the content they do, but then I'm happy they do it because they say wild stuff like Micah Parsons says, or like CJ Stroud. And then obviously,
what CJ say? I didn't see CJ.
CJ just like, this is gonna sound real old timey of me, but like as a quarterback. As a franchise quarterback, like, you almost got to shut up and dribble. Like, what did you do with quarterback stuff? Like, you Tom Brady, brother. Like, come on. But, like, Micah, at least Micah gets to tackle people. So he can talk crazy and then go on the field and punch people. So it's a little different.
Yeah.
No one's funnier at social media than LeBron James. What do you think of LeBron? LeBron James has worked out 7 times a day since that men's health article came out on Luka Doncic, and he just happens to be working out in front of any Clippers logo he can find. What is going on right now with LeBron James in Los Angeles?
Yo, I want to flip it real quick because I seen this Bronny quote, and it was just like, yeah, I'm just super low-key. Like, that's just always been me. I try to step spotlight, try to blend in. And I'm just like, not to be armchair therapist, but I'm like, yeah, that's exactly what a kid would do of the child of the biggest narcissist we've known in the history of the world. With the same exact name. And look, I love LeBron. LeBron's the GOAT. And LeBron is like as humorous and entertaining as there is. But everything he does is so calculated. And he goes, come on, guys. Of course I was working out at the Cavs gym. Of course, I always do that. Come on, guys. All the clutch guys work out at the Clippers arena, at the Clippers facility. It's new and it's nice. Like, there's not a Lakers facility, or there's that house with the Lakers court, or a million other. Like, LeBron can go to any gym he wants anywhere. Like, if LeBron walks up to Kennedy and was like, yo, I need 45 on this court, and you guys are holding practice. You guys are moving the kids out of the way.
Yeah, we're gone.
We're letting Bron practice. So, like, he can beat LA. He can do whatever he wants. His right. Court is out. Like, yeah, you're practicing the Clippers facility for a reason. It's fine. It's fine, buddy. Just own it. You're with Jokic's agent for a reason. It's fine, bro. Like, enjoy it. We get it.
The funny thing that we talked about is being down there in Los Angeles where he's living and the mansion in Brentwood. You know how many gyms and colleges, and I think even the Lakers facility he had to pass up to get to the Clippers gym? It had to be no less than 10 that were like viable for LeBron standards, like UCLA, US. Well, he didn't pass up USC, but they're all right there. And he decides to go to.
Well, there's the Mamba gym. There's that. What's it called? The gym that Kevin's always working out in, and Aaron Rodgers was working out in, and Jalen Bridges, Jalen Green, and everybody else, and their mom works out. There's a million gyms. As somebody who spent the summer in LA with NBA players, there's a million places to hoop, and you're LeBron. Like, you can get a gym like this and clear it out and just go do your thing. To use the Clippers facility and then post it.
Yeah.
Like, you publicize it.
Hilarious. With the Clippers logo, like, dead center.
I love when they're like the mega stars want us to think they're the underdogs. Like, I'm back at it 4 a.m. I'm really about to grind. We know LeBron. Like, we know you're 40 and still in bed. You're incredible, bro. Like, we get it.
That dude funny, man. He's hilarious. I love him.
I love him. Like, we're laughing, but like, the league will not be the same when he's gone. It will not be nowhere near as funny and entertaining.
I call it what it is. Mike never gave us content.
He
like
didn't.
This.
This is it sounds like we're laughing. This is in favor of LeBron. This is, he's actually getting points for this entertainment he's giving us.
Like my favorite TV show. I'm locked in every week.
I remember when they missed the playoffs. One of those years. One of the years the Lakers missed the playoffs.
And Luke Walton probably was the head coach. Exactly.
That was the year.
He was trying to protect it. Protect your boy Luke.
Shout out Luke, man. I see you out in Detroit, man. Do what you do. But I told somebody that, like, I was like, damn, the playoffs kind of missing somebody. Playoffs missing LeBron. We're going to miss everything about the NBA, at least for like a year or two when he's gone. It's not going to be the same.
Every once in a while, somebody does one of those tweets like, the 2019 season was the funniest season ever. Oh my God. And everybody's retweeting all the moments and stuff. And like 80% of them are LeBron. No matter what year you pick, 80% of it is LeBron just doing something silly. So it's like, he can't help it. He also has to know. Like, he knows, because every time he's on a show or his show and it's like, hey, LeBron, have you seen this thing where you only read the first page? He knows exactly what they're talking about. He knows exactly how to respond.
He does the Candy Crush commercial. That's about him only being on the first page. Now, have y'all seen he does that commercial?
I don't think so.
For the Candy Crush game, you know, the one on your phone?
Yeah.
And it's about him fake reading, but he's really playing a Candy Crush. That's why he's fake reading.
He knows all of this stuff. Like, he's like Drake. Like, not to get into that combo, but he's like Drake. They know all. They see it all. They know it all. They think it's funny. They lean into it. They get it.
Yeah, I'm not jumping in these waters with you two. I just say, hey, whatever you say, man. I'm out. I just say, whatever.
What did I miss?
I was playing some earlier when he says, I'm up in Bron crib, fishbowl, wine glasses. I'm like, so much has happened.
I really want to know what happened with those two, though. That's more than Kendrick. Something happened with them, and I don't know what it was. I have an idea.
It's been
sad. I can speculate.
What I'll say is this. Drake is the best friend ever, because you guys are watch aficionados. You guys know. I see what you guys be wearing. Trading the Arabic dial for any Rolex was nuts. And he traded it for a straight just joint. And it, like, they found this watch. And it, so if you know anything about watch, the platinum Arabic dial date just Rolex, we talking about like a high six figure and he took like a couple hundred K loss on that, just on some like, you're my guy, bro. Here. You like this one better? Cool. That's a great friend. That's like the best friend.
He's too good of a friend. That's what it is.
Too good.
What did I miss? You think Luka's contract, he's extension eligible. I think it's tomorrow. You think he signs?
Oh, now that he's skinny?
Yeah, it
is. Yo, I've been laughing. Like, I had to Google it because I'm like, what is he putting out? He has to be putting out something. He's not just doing like my 600-pound life promo run for nothing. And it's a sneaker, which is fine. But I've never seen a professional athlete market like fitness. Like, like weight loss in this way. Like, this is insanity. And he wasn't that big before. He's not that small now. So like, we're talking, and I love it. So as somebody who's incessantly in the gym and watching what I eat right now, I love that like his fitness plan is like, yeah, he works out now and he's eating more protein and he doesn't eat early. I'm like, oh, he's doing like what everybody else does who goes to the gym. He has a protein shake twice a day. Great. Congrats, Luca. We're so proud of you, buddy. Everything you've been through.
Once again, the favorite acting like an underdog.
Like, wasn't half the month of February spent talking about how out of shape and fat Luka Doncic was?
Man, and it's like he's not fat.
No, he's not.
He doesn't have LeBron's body, as LeBron is quick to remind us every time he gets on his.
Well,
but he's not like a big guy. This was like, I don't know. Is he going to guard now?
Luka got more definition now. Like he does. You see it in his arms. He unless does. That was
I see that.
You know, the old men's health. Yeah. You know, Photoshop app. But
this is what I said the other day. It's great that he's in shape. Good for him. But the problems for me, at least, the problems for Luka was never. It never really was like his body and his shape and all this other stuff, because he still was an MVP candidate. Like the ball was still going in the hoop. He was still able to do it. It's what's in his blood. It's what's in his veins. I don't care how skinny he get. He's not going to play defense. I don't care how skinny he get. He's not like, let's run the offense guy. The offense is me cooking. And if I don't have the ball, I'm going to just stand over here. That's what he is.
I will say this, to step on my own point. Every once in a while, they have like these videos, just like rookie year Luka was a whole different, and he like literally looks like a whole different human. Like, it's just like, all right. Like, and my thing about this, because I do this with Joel, I used to say this with Cuz, with Boogie, and I love Boogie. Like, there's no excuse. They have every resource possible. Like, your job is to be in great shape and athletic. You're literally a professional athlete. So, like, my thing was, if Boogie was in Dwight Howard shape, he would have been the best player in the league. Like, he was that great. And so I say the same thing for Joel. If Joel was in the best shape of his life, he'd be great. He'd be the best player in the league. It applies to Luka too. If he's in the best shape of his life, he'll be in the running for the best player in the league next year. And he's not old. Like, right. What is his excuse beyond just, he just didn't want to. So I'm like, I'm not praising you. For now, you work out. Like, good job, buddy. Like, what are we doing? You're on Good Morning America saying, yeah, I drink protein shakes now?
I didn't see him on Good Morning America.
We'll buy the shoes, bro. We'll buy the shoes.
Well, to be fair, I think it was the Today Show, but it's fine. And he did talk about his protein shakes.
That's crazy. Go from Today Show to Dykeman is crazy.
And it was 100 degrees. And it was like, I bet if I don't go, Luka's going to be there. And I'm going to wish I went. And he was.
Yeah.
Good job.
You kind of mentioned this a second ago. LeBron in this picture with Maverick and Jokic's agent. And now this talk of a competing NBA Euro League. You put any stock in this? You think this is something LeBron is really involved in?
It's, I don't know how in depth people have looked at this. It's going to be like similar to Unrivaled. Like, it's not going to be 3-on-3, but there's like specific rules and all this stuff. But I don't think this is an NBA competitor so much as it's like another option, like for later in your career or for like, to go get the bag, basically. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to be surprised if a bunch of guys – like, LeBron is not going to do this if there's not some viability here. Mm-hmm. Somebody's going to play in this, even if it's him. Now, going back to our original convo, like, the conceit and the narcissism to start a whole league, to do a whole nother retirement tour after your other retirement tour, like, we've never seen this level of anything. Like, this is kind of crazy, but I'm not going to be surprised if he plays in this league when they get it up and going. Like, why wouldn't he? He's making money off it. He's going to be the biggest attraction. Right. It's whoever else he can convince to go there. But again, like, LeBron is such a crazy story, right? Like, he has an agency that is somehow legal, even though he's in the league, and they've kept it above board, and salute to them. And like, now he's starting a league while he's in the league. It's just like he's managed to like power his way through all of this, through life. So I salute him. I think it's gonna be like this fun offseason thing. But again, if they get TV and the, yo, I sit there and watch TBT. I sit there and watch the Big Three sometimes. Like, I'll watch this. Like, you telling me, like, we get some retired guys to play. If this pops up in 2029 and it's LeBron, Steph, and Kevin, we're all gonna watch it. So I'm sure it'll do fine. LeBron doesn't do stuff just to do it. Like he's here to succeed.
Let me ask.
I'm gonna be there. Here, I'll hit the button. Hold on. Here it is.
Oh,
say it. LeBron doesn't own Clutch. I'm just gonna put that at LeBron doesn't own Clutch.
Technically,
oh, I'm sure.
Rich does.
Oh, I'm sure.
The paper. I just want to point out, if this is a court of law, the paperwork is clean.
All right. How much they pulled the commissions last year?
Oof.
You think they ain't go somewhere?
I think it goes into the general pot.
LeBron getting the general fund. LeBron getting commission off of De'Aaron Fox's contract is crazy.
That's like, again, they've done it legally, and I'm not accusing them of anything, but it's a little shaky.
It's kind of crazy.
I'm watching LeBron tell me to bet on football on DraftKings as he's playing basketball. So, like, there's a lot happening with LeBron. Like, LeBron has mastered this stuff. He's the GOAT. He gets it.
He is.
Rich might be the one agent without a law degree.
I can believe that too. Yeah.
Well, that what was the draft pick's name? What was the kid who had the fall in the draft because of his agent?
Oh, who was
the kid in the
basketball?
Say it again. Ace Bailey. Thank you. Ace Bailey got a random guy being his agent too.
Therese Pops. Yeah. Tez Pops.
Yeah.
Yo, by the way,
I'm doing.
I saw nothing wrong
agent.
With that video. That's what I do when Blueprint 2 is on. I look just like that. If I got the big boy watch on, I look just like that.
No, what's wrong with that?
Let me just ask you, because we were trying to figure this out with LeBron and his league and NBA Europe starting to gain steam and all this other stuff. What kind of happened? Because we all assumed that expansion was coming. It's going to be Seattle and Vegas. LeBron was potentially going to have some type of involvement in the Vegas team. And now that seems like that's kind of way far down the line than any of us initially realized, is it a situation where LeBron feels some type of way and is going this route? Or is he just looking at it like, man, my time in here isn't coming anytime soon. Let me focus on something else. How you think that played out?
That's the Bill Simmons conspiracy, right? Like, him and the Fenway group were supposed to get the team, and now it's slowing down and they feel away or whatever it is. Like, I think they just saw an opportunity. I mean, that money over there, everybody's cleaning up in that money. And for whatever reason, they planted their flag in sports and decided that's where they're going to do this. I mean, when I watch boxing and some of these fights they put together, and they don't put them together in these big venues, and when they do the expensive cards, I'm like, I don't know exactly how this is fiscally responsible, but they don't care. Like, they're literally printing money. So, you know, again, LeBron and Mav have figured this is something that can work. I think the NBA, as we mentioned, NBA Europe, the NBA has wanted their secondary league for a long time. They wanted it to be the D and then the G League. They wanted to create their own feeder system into the league to kind of supplant college and these overseas leagues. And they're going to keep looking for that. And maybe Europe is the place where they plant that. They have the league in Africa as well, the BAL. They're just going to continue to go global. They're trying to monopolize sports and make everything a feeder system into the NBA. The premier Europe teams are extremely successful. So I think it's a smart play by them. I don't know what LeBron's long-term play is here. I still believe he'll end up a part of an ownership group with a team somewhere, and probably in a couple leagues like Magic. I mean, I don't know if y'all seen these videos of Magic on the yacht, but Magic has figured out we're going on 25 years of Magic just being the guy. Mm-hmm. And so, like, he's kind of set the blueprint in a lot of ways, in similar to Mike. And Mike obviously had the Charlotte team and then moved on from that. But, you know, those guys set the road for the KDs, LeBrons, the Stephs. And we're not going to be shocked when all three of them own teams in the next 10 years or whatever it is. And, you know, set the road for the next group of superstars who are moving on to that phase after their career.
Well, just going in the not too distant future, just looking at next year, we saw the Knicks with that Mikal Bridges signing. We know Tatum is out. We know Dame is gone. Tyrese is out. Knicks feel like they're the team to beat in the East next year.
I mean, how could they not? You look around that conference, you've lost the two biggest competitors they had, two teams they faced off with in the playoffs, and that's unfortunate. You see Orlando getting better. But beyond that, like, what, it's not too much happening in that conference. It is theirs to lose, but man, you get the Knicks a chance to lose. Who knows? And that's a lot relying on the health of that team, has had some up and downs. Just re-ing up, you get a new coach, and I love Mike Brown, just like everybody here loves Mike Brown. It's set out for them, it's ready for them, and then. Who knows what happens with Giannis if he ends up on another Eastern Conference team, if he ends up on the Knicks. This is their chance, but I still don't see them beating whoever comes out of the West, whether it's the Rockets or the Thunder or, you know, whatever contender you feel like.
Sacramento.
Yeah. Jonathan Kuminga and Russell Westbrook. Yeah. And the Kings.
Now, look, Eddie did the same thing that we did, and I'm not sure what this says about this team, but – he didn't mention Detroit. Cleveland. And we just kind of – is that where Cleveland is now, though, where because of how last year played out, it don't really matter what they do in the regular season or not, nobody's taking them that seriously?
No.
I think that was going on in the league during the season. Yep. And there's talent on that team, but there's also glaring holes stylistically and then with their personnel as well. I love Donovan Mitchell like the next person, but – it's just an exhausting style of play he plays, and it's tough to win 16 playoff games. It's tough to win 12 playoff games playing like that. I think Garland is another issue on defense, and you know they have a lot. If Evan Mobley makes a leap that we kind of keep waiting for him to make, I thought he was good, really good last year. He could be much better this year. You know that changes things, but you know I'm looking at Orlando a little scarier than Cleveland right now as we sit here in August. I'm wanting to see what Detroit's going to do. I'm looking at those teams jumping up more so than I am looking at Cleveland to do that.
And this is their team. Like when you look at the Cavs, when you look at the Cavs, those contracts, this is their squad, and they got another year or two to try to make it work.
And they kicked the tires on some stuff. I mean, it's been reported now that they made offers on Kevin, and you know, without Kevin's commitment, they weren't gonna give up Garland to get him. And you know, they're open to advancing in some way, shape, or form. But again, the market for both Darius Garland, who is a small shooting guard who doesn't play much defense, that's just a role that isn't as valued right now in the league. And then Jared Allen, who you know is a good defensive center and provides some stuff, but it's again another role that's just not overvalued in this league. It was only going to get them so much, and so you just run it back, and you hope you're better and you're healthier when you need to be, and all that. I mean, look, they ran through the season last year. Number one seed had a great regular season, and even made some improvements going into playoffs, you know, and picking up some guys. But it's just, you know, the other teams just feel a little more dynamic, and they feel like they're a little more top heavy than Cleveland is as well. And I think, again, looking at those young teams, looking at Detroit, looking at Orlando, like that seems more likely than anything. Those teams are just better. You know, Paolo and Cade are just better. And we're just taking a leap and seeing what they do next year.
If I'm Cleveland, I do that deal without a commitment. If I get Phoenix to say yes to a Kevin Durant deal and Kevin goes, hey, I'm here for a year, but I don't know. It's cool.
It's your time right
now. It's cool. I'll do it. I'd do it right now.
I think, you know, tip your hat to Rich Kleiman and the way he was able to manipulate and be an agent throughout all of that. It's easy to sit in our chairs and say, yeah, Alex Rodriguez should have pulled the trigger and just did Rudy Gobert and stuff for Kevin. Like, we'll just bring you here for a year and we don't care, you know. And same thing for Cleveland. I agree. Like I would
that
love
team could win a championship, especially with what happened to the to that conference. Yeah. Man,
I think there's two things at play. One is like it's harder said than done. It's sure. harder done than said, right? Like we're not sitting there. There's jobs on the line. There's money on the line. There's all kinds sure. of stuff on the line. If Kevin is great, so in a year if he doesn't get hurt, he hits free agency. You lose him for nothing, and then you've given up a bunch of stuff for him. That's tough. I think the other thing is I think there's like a respect for Kevin and what he wanted, and kind of valuing that level of guy at that point in his career and saying, yeah, we don't want to be the team that just bullies him into that at 37 and says, oh, well, and then tries to woo him for a year and all of the toxic like media that comes with that. So I think it's a fair decision to make. But again, I mean, I told Kevin himself, I don't know why Cleveland didn't do that.
Yeah,
Cleveland got you. That's a Bob right there. You, Evan, Don. I like Wade. I like a couple guys on that bench. Just like you, Max Strus. Like you, spacing gives all kind of stuff. And they just, you know, couldn't.
I mean, they every bit as loaded as Houston.
I agree.
Yeah, I mean, I think they would have had to sit Jared Allen out as well, and some cap stuff. But
that's
still, I like what they end up with there, and you know, decided not to. And same thing for Minnesota. The Minnesota stuff was there to be had, and. Again, they decided not to. Without a commitment, it was just a little bit too risky for them. But I told Kevin, I said, yo, you, McDaniels, Julius, Ant, like, that's a my boy. Like, you Nas.
Yeah.
And so, again, I'm surprised they didn't do it, especially for a team that was in the conference finals and was you know, felt like they could win. But, again, it's easier to say it right here.
Would have been Eddie Gonzalez from the Mall of America.
Right. Hey, do me a favor. I'm glad to see he's progressing. You know, he's on the right track. Everything is looking good. But tell your boy, our boy, put the boot back on, bro. I ain't like the way he was walking, bro. He's walking like Alex Smith, bro. Put the boot back on, man. You just put the boot on for another month and a half. Like, just chill. There's no rush. I'm talking about Jason Tatum, everybody. Just put the boot back on, sir.
Hey, man, was, you know, have y'all seen this Aaron Rodgers doc?
No.
So a big part of the first episode is his Achilles recovery. He was walking in like 2 weeks. Like, these dudes are psychos, man. We can only tell them so much. But rest assured, JT is taking his recovery and his physical therapy extra serious. These reports about what he may or may not do, they're not even thinking about that right now. Like, you know what I mean? So, you know, he's doing well. He's working on it.
I know he got the new Jordan. He got the new Jordan trainers he was trying to preview. I get that. You can do that on the right.
He's at another Jordan camp this week. I was just laughing with him because they're doing this thing. What's the worst Drake song on every album? And apparently this guy is a big fan of I Miss You Too from Certified Lover Boy with Kid Cudi, which I think is one of the worst Drake songs of all time. So he's in good spirits. Whatever's got going on, he's in good spirits. He said he don't care what nobody think. That's his joint. I'm like, what?
They on a for those who don't they're on a Drake super fan text thread. They just all text each other about this stuff. That's why I'm just on the outs. Eddie, we appreciate you as always, my brother. Thanks for your time on these Fridays.
Hey, fellas. Let's all watch CM Punk win his world championship tomorrow.
Hey.
Hey, man. That's my guy, CM Punk.
Are we on playback for that?
I might be in the building. I'm sorry. But
Okay. That's what we're doing. All right. Okay. He's going to be sitting right next to Cardi. Okay. I know how you do. Yeah.
Okay.
All right.
Front row Eddie at MetLife.
Bye, guys. Good talking. Love.
Yeah, yeah. Appreciate y'all.
Have a good one.
Thank you, bro. We're going to be looking for Eddie in the front row. We'll come back. We're going to talk more basketball. We'll talk Kings basketball. We'll talk Jonathan Kuminga. We've got Kyle. He's here. I want to ask him a couple of 49ers questions at some point over the next hour and 15 as well before we get out of here for the weekend. So a lot more show ahead. We appreciate you for being with us. Phone line stay open, 916-909-1320. And Steelin' with KC here on Sacramento Sports Leader ESPN 1320.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Only at True North stores, new True Rewards members stack your savings at the pump. Sign up and earn 15 cents a gallon on your first fill-up. Second fill, get 30 cents off a gallon. Then earn a massive 40 cents off a gallon on your third fill-up. Join now. This offer won't last. Find the True Rewards app in your favorite app store. Download and click the star to sign up. Must be a new member of both True Rewards and Shell Fuel Rewards to qualify. Limit 20 gallons per fill. Additional terms apply. Offer ends August 3rd. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Street Easy asked former New Yorkers if there's anything they miss about life in New York City.
Let me put it this way. House with a home theater sounds appealing. But that's until you realize you no longer have a theater district.
Whether you're looking to rent or it's time to buy, Street Easy has the local expertise you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Do you know about the true crimes that inspired a Bruce Springsteen album? Or the murders AC/DC was blamed for? How about Taylor Swift's violent stalkers? Or the suspicious deaths of Brittany Murphy and River Phoenix? These stories and more are told in the Disgraceland podcast, hosted by me, Jake Brennan, every Tuesday, where I dive deep into subjects from the dark side of music history and entertainment. So follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Is D-Lo and KC on ESPN 1320, brought to you by Sky River Casino.
Back here on D-Lo and KC, ESPN 1320. Friday afternoon, a beautiful Friday afternoon. I saw something yesterday on Twitter that said they were talking about the weather and everything that's been going on for the month of July in Sacramento. And they said it is the coolest July in Sacramento in the last 20 years. It feels like it. It's pretty crazy. Yeah.
It's
that follows up like the hottest like July in
Sacramento.
A couple
hundred degree day. And that
I don't know
it.
If we saw any in July. I'm trying to think.
I think there were a couple.
There might have been one or two.
I think there was a couple while I was in Seattle. I was about to say
after 4th of July, because 4th of July was chilly. And I think.
It was like 91 degrees. I don't think it was chilly.
I don't know if it hit 90.
Really?
I don't know if it hit 90. I know at night, because the fireworks, we were bundled up.
Yeah.
I don't know if it hit 90 on 4th of July. But I think the next day might have been a little warm. And Sunday, I think, was a little warm. Because I went to the Giants A's game. And it was warm during the day. That might have been a 100 degree day.
Okay.
But...
Well, I know
no
it wasn't
112.
Five. No. I know that.
Well, that's what I'm saying. It falls up last
two,
year.
Two straight weeks of 100-degree temperatures. Man. I feel like the cycle is like every other year. Every other year we hit some like insane stretch of weather where it's 100-plus degrees for like an absurd amount of time.
Well, I feel sorry for the A's next year.
Well, they'll melt, as will the Yankees and the rest of their opponents. Hopefully these talks between the Sacramento Kings and the Golden State Warriors don't melt. Sam Amick wrote today in The Athletic. He gave us there was some concrete information there for the first time in terms of numbers from Sam. Sam confirmed what we speculated. Well, we didn't speculate it. It was pretty easy to put two and two together when Sham Sharania wrote that offers have been made in the vicinity of 4 years up to $90 million, while also acknowledging that of the two teams, the Sacramento Kings and the Phoenix Suns have been the most aggressive in terms of creating a lucrative offer. Mm-hmm. So that tells you that 490 that Shams reported on did in fact come from the Phoenix Suns. Mm-hmm. Our question was, what exactly did the Sacramento Kings offer? And we speculated it had to be at least in the vicinity to be a part of the conversation. It was sort of. They've offered a 3-year as opposed to a 4-year, a 3-year $63 million deal. One thing that really stands out about that to me is Mark Spears told us, Mark Spears told the world on NBA Today, Jonathan Kuminga right now prefers Sacramento. Like, he wants to come play in Sacramento. Now, there could be fit reasons, basketball reasons. There could be a multitude of reasons. But we know that this contract is 1 year less than the one Phoenix offered him. Therefore, it's worth less money. And he's still looking at it like, yeah, that's the one I want to do. Yeah. I think that says something about the conversation that
absolutely
that they had and about the role that they presented with Jonathan Kuminga and where he could see his future being.
Mm-hmm. Also, it probably speaks to the fact that I'm not sure if he's talked to Phoenix. I haven't been able to find something to say. They've, at the very least, spoken the way, the formal way the Kings spoke to Jonathan Kuminga. But I think the scenario that Scott Perry, BJ Armstrong, Doug Christie potentially laid out for Jonathan Kuminga while making $20 million a year, that'd be great. I think that would be great. I also think, like, if you're Jonathan Kuminga and you're his team and they offer you 3 years, $21 million compared to Phoenix's 4 and 90, yes, Phoenix is a longer deal, a little bit more security. But if you're getting all the opportunity that they're telling you you're going to have in Sacramento, 3 years, you're 25 years old, you're about to cash out. And you produce the way you think you can or get the opportunity, you're about to cash out for like another $150 to $200 million potentially. So I can understand for those reasons as well why Sacramento might be more appealing to Jonathan Kuminga and his camp.
Yeah, it's a now there's other like little notes. This was great stuff from Sam this morning. The Warriors would want to stay under the first apron, which makes the acquisition of Malik Monk difficult because they'd have to move or they'd have to move contracts. Sam speculated that it could be someone like Moses Moody or Buddy Hield. But it also wouldn't the same financial difficulties, I guess it would only be for a year or half a year, so maybe it wouldn't matter. But wouldn't the same financial difficulties hit them if they signed Jonathan Kuminga to that contract? Wouldn't that send them over? If Malik at 18 sends you over the sends you over the first apron, wouldn't the 2 year $45 million send you over the second apron?
So that's what I thought too.
First apron. I'm sorry. I keep saying second. Over the first apron.
That's what I thought too, because I was a little confused when people said if they got Monk, they'd have to move on from Moody and or Buddy Hield. And I thought the same thing. I was like, well, that's essentially the same as the contract they wanted to sign Kuminga to. So I don't know why you'd have to move on from those guys.
Well, I assume they wouldn't mind being in the second or they wouldn't mind being in the first apron because it'd be for half a season.
Yeah.
You'd have to get something back when you traded Jonathan Kuminga, but I'm sure it's that from what everyone is hypothesizing here, they want the trade ship of a $21 million player that they can get back sometime in February.
Right. And that's also another reason why you look at a guy like Malik Monk, and I think he would do cool on the Warriors just because I think Malik Monk is a good basketball player. But James saying this always sticks in my mind. They just want the money slot so they can flip that potentially at the trade deadline to get somebody that they feel might be able to push them over the top into a championship level. So, or maybe they just stick around and they keep, you know, Malik Monk, but getting to that $20 million a year type of player, I think, is a goal of them so they can flip that. But you know how I feel about Malik Monk. Like, I believe in him, no matter where he's at. So I believe that he can be a guy that can help you out at a high level. But I don't know if everybody sees him like that around the league.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think they do. He was a free agent last year. The market for him was tough. Mm-hmm. I don't know what Malik is. Vibes, energy, explosive score at times. I don't know. Like I'm not.
He's a guy who, as much as I like him, I do see some of the shortcomings. He's a little bit of a tweener in the fact that he's a smaller guy, relies on his quickness, his jump shot, all those things. He's got the body of a point guard, but he doesn't have the mentality of a point guard. So that's going to create a couple of problems. Like, one of the things that was always a problem is, like, if you put him out there with another point guard, now you're lacking a little bit of size if you don't have it for the other three guys that are on the floor.
Yeah.
He's a scorer. I think he's a better passer than most give him credit for. But he's a scorer at that size, and some people look at that as like, I can find a guy. Malik is probably like 6'2", maybe 6'3". I can find a guy 6'5", that can score for cheaper than $18 million a year and can play a little bit of defense, can go rebound and do all that. So it kind of feels like the price tag might be the reason why people are a little low on Malik. If he was making $8 million a year, $10 million a year, they might look at him a lot different and be more in a hurry to try and get him on the squad. But at 18 mil, some people may think that's just too much for a guy coming off the bench.
Are there any championship contending teams that have a player like Malik Monk playing significant minutes?
Good question.
Off
the top of my head, no.
I mean,
I don't know what role he plays on a team that wants to contend in the modern NBA.
What do you mean when you say a player like Malik Monk? And before you answer, I'll ask you a question.
A
smaller guard who scores isn't really a defender, isn't really a creator for others. Is that kind of what you see?
Yeah, it's an undersized scoring guard that doesn't play defense. Like, that's a tough thing to navigate. That's not to say he's useless or a bad player.
Right.
But I just, if you plug him into, like, I don't, if you try and swap him out, okay, who is he on the Thunder? Or who is he on the Pacers? Who is he on the Cavs?
I'll go through that. Like, on the Thunder, I feel like he's like Isaiah Joe. Except Isaiah Joe's not making $18 million a year.
Right.
And I think
he's a better shooter.
He's better than Isaiah Joe, but that type of player.
But Joe's a better shooter, better defender.
Yeah. Indiana, Nembhard?
Better defender.
Yeah. The Knicks don't have
a player. I was going to say Mathurin.
Well, the Knicks have Jordan Clarkson now.
That's a good one. Jordan Clarkson, who couldn't get a deal. Like, he couldn't get paid.
So Fred Katz said something really interesting on Zach Lowe's podcast yesterday, where he talks about how the market for scoring guards is just down in the league. Like, it's just not there. Because I think so much of the focus now is size, athleticism, defense, trying to replicate the Thunder, the Rockets.
Matt George tapping in on the Twix. He says Peyton Pritchard. I would go with that. Here's the thing, though. That's a good one. All these guys that we named, number one, they don't make $18 million a year. Right. Number two, they're not looked at as like, yo, this guy might play 22 to 30 minutes a night. It's just like, yeah, we have these guys out here in doses, and then we get back to the big dogs to close the game out.
Who did you say on Indiana? You said Nembhard. He makes $2 million.
Pritchard also hits 40% of his threes. Pretty consistently.
Deuce McBride on the Knicks.
Are any of these players as erratic as Malik is?
No, and that's just it. And that's what I'm saying. Like, you mentioned, like, Deuce McBride, much smaller role. Peyton Pritchard, like, doesn't have a huge role for the Celtics. Malik Monk makes the kind of money that you're expecting, all right, this guy's going to be featured in some way. And again, he was on a good Kings team 2 years ago. Like, this is not, oh, Malik Monk stinks or there's no role for him. Yeah. I just wonder, when you're talking about trading for him or teams acquiring him, I don't know that there's that many teams that are going to go trade for that player who are expecting to be a title contender.
That's fair.
Yeah. And once again, I think it's really fair. Important. It's really important. Well, at least for me, I think this is the thing. It's the price tag.
Mm-hmm.
If Malik Monk was making $8 million a year, I think there would be people lined up to have him on the team.
I'm totally with you.
But 18.
Well, because you feel like, so, okay, in further context to that, you feel like if he's making less, you don't have to use him.
Not as much. Like I agree with Kyle where he says like at 18, like it feels like at least at $18 million a year, I need you to be
You
need to be out there 25 to 30 minutes a night. That's in my mind, that's what I think of an $18 million a year player. And some people are like, I can get a lot of this production for way cheaper. Like I said, Nembhard make $2 million a year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Somebody brought up Benedict Mathurin, who's also 6'6". He is making $6.5 million a year. Like you go look at $18 million players in the NBA, effective ones, ones that are impacting title odds or championship contenders. It's not a lot of guys like Malik. Mm. I think it's just that's not an indictment on Malik Monk. It's just kind of where the NBA is.
It kind of is.
What do you mean?
It's kind of an indictment on Malik Monk.
I'm not saying he's a bad player, though. Like, this Malik Monk disrespect. There's no disrespect. I think he's really good. I just wonder when you're talking about, okay, the Kings want to trade him. I don't think, as much as we love Malik here, I don't think there's teams across the league like, oh, Malik's available. We got to go.
Well, that's
we got to go get him.
Well, and so that's the telling part of all of this. Malik was available last year.
Mm-hmm.
He re-signed in Sacramento. And the uninformed can tell you he took a pay cut to come back here. Like, he did not. He took less money, I believe, than what Detroit had to offer him. But the perspective on Detroit last year at this time is a whole lot different than the perspective on Detroit this time.
Mm-hmm.
So if you want to applaud him for taking minimal dollars less, and I mean less is less, it ain't my money, so salute. But taking minimal dollars less than what Detroit had to offer, that's perfectly fine. But there was not a plethora of teams that made serious offers for Malik Monk last year. Mm-hmm. There were a couple, and I don't know that any of them were like really serious offers, anything even in the range of $10+ million, other than Detroit. So I'm not, we love Malik, always have, at least since he's been a Sacramento King. Casey loved him since he's been, since Kentucky. But yeah, like the rap across the league is, it's out there on him. He had the opportunity to get picked up last year and wasn't.
Mm-hmm.
I went to the sixth man of the year voting. Mm-hmm. Last year, because that's kind of where Malik is. Like you could have him starting, but I think we've seen it. I think people around the league believe he's best used as a guy coming off the bench. And it's just, I'm not necessarily trying to prove a point, just kind of give context. You've got Peyton Pritchard, who won it, Malik Beasley, Ty Jerome, DeAndre Hunter, Naz Reid, Nikhil Alexander-Walker, Russell Westbrook, Alex Caruso. Half of those guys are making big money. Half of those guys are not.
Mm-hmm.
And this is what I'm saying. The league may be looking at that. Like, we look at Malik as a sixth man. Why should we be paying him $18 million a year?
Mm-hmm.
Like, the best players in his – a lot of the best players in his position – aren't making $18 million. Now you got DeAndre Hunter, who started out as a starter. He's making like 20 plus. Naz Reid just signed a contract where he's making 20 plus. So that kind of skews that a little bit. But the rest of those guys, Malik Beasley making $6 million a year. He came in second in sixth man of the year voting. Mm-hmm. Peyton Pritchard, while he's probably going to get a payday, I don't know if it's going to be at $18 million a year. So the league, I'm just talking about the league, maybe looking at that type of player and saying, I don't know if I want to spend that for that role.
Wonder what kind of contract Malik Beasley will get.
I was going to say something mean. I ain't going to say it.
That was nice of you.
I was going to say it. The whatever they're serving on the prison yard that day.
How are you going to say I was going to say something mean?
Man,
I'm not going to say it and then say it. Man, what you doing?
I said
you would have been better off just getting the joke out.
I was going to say that,
but I didn't
say it.
You would have been better off just getting the joke out.
Still.
Man.
I was going to say it.
You did.
Man. What did Malik Beasley do to you?
Nothing at all, man. No, I hope that don't happen at all. I hope that doesn't happen at all.
Let me channel my take a lap, fence him back.
You know what the underlying little note here from Mark Spears and Sam Amick the last couple of days are? Mm. I guess Devin Carter's a king, huh?
Yeah.
I mean, weigh in on this. Is it?
Ah.
Yeah, don't want to? I don't blame
you. Yeah, it seems like he is. Where's he going?
Do you see it? Can you see anything with him?
Yeah. Yes. I think he's going to be a player. So I say this on the Insiders all the time. 10 a.m. to noon on ESPN 1320.
Great show.
I say this on the Insiders all the time, but Austin Rivers says this on his podcast. Know your role, change your life. He talks about that all the time with NBA players and how so many NBA players are out of the league because they couldn't figure out their role. If Devin Carter ever figures out his role, like Gary Payton II came up a lot when we were talking about Devin Carter with the Warriors.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, man, could he be that impact defender, go get those, go create 4 or 5 extra possessions a game with rebounds, knock down a corner three consistently, and play big bench minutes for a good team? Like, yeah, I think that's the skill set. Now, is that his mindset? Is that what he wants to do? Is that what he's willing to do? I have no idea. And that just that you have to be in somebody's head to know that.
Who has to understand Devin Carter's role first, Devin or Doug?
Devin.
Yeah, I was going to say Devin.
I think he has everything I just said. I think if Devin was going to do that for the Kings this year, I think Doug would play him. Figure out a way to get him on the court. Because that's the style of basketball I think they want to play. I just don't know if he's got that.
I think that, well, maybe this is cheating a little bit. I think they already know it. They know his role. They need him to know.
The Kings know.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree.
I think they know what they got and what they don't have.
I don't think they do, though. How could you? From what?
All right, I'm really not going to say it this time.
I think with what the Kings know or don't know what they have, I think it's more ceiling based. I think
right, say that again.
When you say the Kings don't know what they have, it's like, yeah, you don't know what he could. My thought derailed.
What were you gonna say then?
I think they've seen enough. I think it's pretty clear who Devin Carter is.
Okay. But seen enough. Okay, go ahead.
Yeah, that's it. Is I think the Kings have seen enough where they're like, hey, he could play this role.
But seen enough from what? Like the minutes that he played, the minimal time that he played last year in Summer League?
I'm trying to be complimentary.
Am I stalling him out? What the hell?
Your boy Devin Carter.
No, I think the Kings have seen, even in limited action, I think they've been like, yeah, we think he can do this role, this thing I kind of just described. I don't think that they know exactly what his ceiling is because of what you're saying. Like, you just haven't really seen him play enough basketball. But I think they've seen enough to know, like, all right, we're not going to give him that opportunity here to try and find that ceiling.
Yeah, I think it's unfair. It is unfair, like, 2 years in to say, like, this is what this player is going to be. But I'd be shocked if Devin Carter became a starter in the league.
Mm-hmm.
I agree.
I'd be shocked. Mm-hmm. I don't see him as that. Now, we've said a number of different times, and I still feel this way. I think he's an NBA player, though. He's a guy, a rotational guy that can get good minutes depending on the night, depending on the team situation that he's in, a very valuable piece to a team. But because of his size, because of, you know, him being a little bit of a tweener as a guard, him being a starting point guard somewhere. I just don't see, and I definitely don't see him being a starting shooting guard. So that's why maybe it's a process of elimination. Now we're like, all right, we have this third guard on the team. We have this backup guy who, depending on the situation, he might play 15 minutes. He might play 28 minutes in a night, you know, if he's really cooking. But that's kind of who he is. And, yeah, we need to get him going in the mindset of, at least as of right now, until he shows differently, this is the role we have for you out here. Just the backup guard. Want you to defend. We love how you pick up full court. I know Doug likes that. I love how he incorporated that. And let that be the catalyst to how you start to jumpstart your career.
Yep.
Yeah. I just can't.
Are you in or out on Devin Carter?
Out.
You're done.
Yeah, out. I've tried to like tell myself repeatedly on this show that that's not fair. Like, because I recognize that the young man did not play a lot of basketball last year. He did not have a training camp. The situation that he was thrust into at the end of December was not the situation he thought he was going to be starting his NBA career at. Mm. And Devin, when we talk about the Mike Brown situation, the De'Aaron Fox situation, the implementation of DeMar DeRozan, Zach LaVine, Del Christy taking over the head of coach. Devin Carter's a part of that. Like, he's a part of all of the weird circumstances that surrounded last year. Yeah. He's a part of that. Yeah. A draft pick who we were certain in the minutes leading into that selection was being traded, wasn't, found out instantly, like immediately, that there was something wrong with it. We got that text. We were at Tom's watch bar and got the text. Yeah, there's something wrong with this kid's shoulder. Like, okay, what do you mean? Yeah. Like, I don't think he's starting the season for you.
That's crazy. Yeah, that's
that's
how it happened.
We're sitting around looking at our phones like, you what?
And it wasn't what's that dude, Nikola Topic? Did Oklahoma City wind up drafting him?
Oh yeah, the guy who's like,
he was gonna go like top five, but he slipped because he tore his ACL.
Yeah.
It wasn't like that where it's like, nah, it's cool, he's gonna be awesome. It was, this pick doesn't really make sense. Oh, and he's out until January.
Yeah.
Like, my God, what?
And I think Ham was the first one that's like, yeah, he's having surgery. So that already started everything, and so like a lot of this is Monty. That started things on a frustrated like sense with him. Then the season starts, and it's like, oh man. You know what would be great? Another player.
Right, just a player.
Someone who could get out there and just help this team on the defensive end, and it didn't work. Let's get this last commercial break out of the way so we could come back, man, and have an extended form conversation. We'll talk. But Jesse brought up something about the Kings. Specifically about Keon Ellis that I want to discuss as well. And we could do it with Kyle Mattson, who's a Keon truther. It's Thielen with KC, brought to you by Sky River Casino and Sacramento Sports Leader ESPN 1320.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Street Easy knows former New Yorkers never stop talking about how much they miss living in NYC.
Life used to feel like a movie, but since we left and bought a house, it's like living in a DIY home repair video.
When it's time to buy, let Street Easy connect you with the right agent you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more.
StreetEasy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
The details behind the Diddy indictment, Taylor Swift's stalkers, Jerry Lee trying to kill Elvis. Disgraceland dives into the dark side of entertainment every Tuesday. Follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.